Today on the AV Podcast, we're breaking down the NBA Finals. I'm joined by Ryerson Sports Hall of Famer, John Michael Nation, as we break down the series, Jimmy Butler's rising profile, what LeBron James potentially winning his fourth ring means for his career. We discuss why the finals ratings, I should say, are the worst in NBA history, and so much more. Sasha Rav is available wherever you listen to your podcast. Hit the like button, the favorite button, listen, rate, review, and subscribe. Subscribe to all of the shows from Sasha Rav Radio. Five stars, it feels so good. I just need them five stars, man. All of the stars, every point off of every edge of every one of them stars. Please, please, and thank you. It drives the machine. It drives this machine. Once again, please and thank you. And I thank you. And make sure you check out SouthShoreAv.com to check out my entire catalog of podcast shows. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. Thanks again for the love and support. It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore AV Radio. Let's go.
Welcome to the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore AV Radio.
Welcome to the AV Podcast. My guest today is a former overseas professional basketball player, a Ryerson Hoffa Hall of Famer for those that don't know the acronym. And before we start the podcast, I invited him here to either confirm or deny the rumors that he has the name Aquaman trademarked, because even through these days and times, the waves stay spinning. Yes, indeed, it stays spinning. Woo! 7:30. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners of the podcast, please welcome Jan Michael Nation to the show. How are you doing today, sir?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And you had to say something about the waves, huh?
The waves, man. The waves.
Listen, man. The waves are God. I'm in my 40s now, buddy.
I don't believe it. All right? I don't believe it.
Only when I grow the hair. But thank you for having me.
No problem. Pandemic, schmandemic, the waves got to spin. I don't believe that they're God. I don't believe that. There's no way it's a trickle. It's a pond now. It's got to be a wave. It's got to be a wave.
No comment. No comment, man. No comment.
All right. So I want to talk about the finals so far in terms of everything that's happened in these first few games. Basically, you know, we're recording this on Wednesday night, so this is the day after Game 4. So what were your thoughts on last night's game?
I thought it was, I think it was a real gritty win for the Lakers. You're battling against a team that is wounded and have nothing to lose. And sometimes in with this game, those are the hardest teams to beat because all the pressure is on the Lakers now. It's like, it's double folded because of the injuries of Dragic and, Bam, but I know Bam came back. He brought some good energy defensively.
He did, even though he's not 100%. But he's still,
even though he's not 100%, but he gave you 50. I think it was 16. He got double digits in rebounds. He was a force on there, and he just gives them another option that they didn't have the previous three games.
Yeah.
Right. And my shock was that Jimmy Butler seemed a little gun shy offensively. He started the game off strong, and then he fizzled offensively down the stretch. And I don't know if that's mental fatigue or physical fatigue, but he just didn't seem to. They needed him for them to win the game. He had to be assertive and look for shots as well as facilitate for others. And I thought because he was passive, they took four shots down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lakers were keying in on that. There was one moment I remember. They did a screen and roll with Bam and Butler with LeBron and AD, and LeBron switched off into Butler in the corner in the baseline, and he dared Butler to shoot the shot, and he hesitated, and he shot it, back ironed, and it was just like you could tell he was in his own head at that moment. He's thinking too much.
Yeah.
So, but once again, to answer the question, I think Lakers had it was a good gritty team win. LeBron did what he normally does. I didn't like the turnovers. I thought he was a little sloppy with that, but he has such a big weight to carry with that team in a sense of setting the tone, scoring, facilitating, rebounding, covering Jimmy Butler. it's a lot to ask for a person at that age to be playing at a high level consistently on both ends of the floor. So hats off to him. AD was, you could tell he wasn't his usual self. He was uncomfortable at moments, but he still gritted it out. He was there defensively. I thought he did a great job of using his length on Jimmy Butler in the second half. Yeah. He blocked a lot of shots and altered shots around the hoop. So in that sense, he played a decent game. I just thought that for me as a player and now coaching young men, I judge aggression by how many free throws do you take. And in earlier rounds, he was taking a lot of free throws, double-digit free throws or close to it, and now he's maybe taking 6 free throws max. And yeah. So it's just telling me you're taking night. More.
Huh? He was 4-for-4 last night.
Yeah, right? So you need to attack the basket more. And, you know, and just be patient. You know the double team's coming. Just take your time. At the end of the day, you can always shoot over them, right? So He just looked a little unsettled at times, but he came through when they needed him in the fourth quarter. So they got the win. And I think that was more a character win for everyone. So they could get ready for game 5.
Yeah, so I think for me, the series is basically over. unless Miami comes through and does, you know, does what LA does to LA what Cleveland did to Golden State in 2016. Unless that happens, I mean, I don't see them coming back from this. Like, they play really hard, and that's what's keeping them in games. And this, sorry, games in the finals so far, which isn't a surprise to a lot of people, just based on, you know, there was a lot of people out there, and I've had people on the pod come here and have Miami as their dark horse, right? Like, they were like the dark horse team that, you know, you don't know what's going to happen with them. No fans in the bubble. They play hard. You just don't know what's going to come. They're going to be a gritty, tough team. So, you know, in some ways, at least games 3 and 4, because I didn't think they really brought it out as much the first two games, but games 3 and 4, they more came with it in that aspect. So I'm not surprised, and just in terms of how the game went yesterday, because it was probably the most physical game of the series, I would say yesterday. You know, especially Jay Crowder, you know, chopping people down. I don't even think it was flagrant. I just thought it was just good fouls, to be honest with you. Because I know there was one where LeBron tried to, like, you know, he flipped out there. But when you look at the replay, it's like, nah, that wasn't that bad.
Yeah, but I tell you why LeBron got frustrated, because it was like 3 fouls, in consecutive fouls from the same dude who's known for doing that. Mm. So it just got annoying. And so sometimes you hard foul somebody, it's sometimes an intimidation factor as well. And so LeBron had to show him, hey, man, you better cut that out. You know what I'm saying? But, I thought, got to give Miami credit. Spoelstra is one hell of a coach. He has them moving, constant movement, pace and space. They move the ball. They got misdirection plays, pistol screens, and so forth. It's interesting to see all the offense, how the offensive flows off of different players, from Hero to Butler to even Olenek. He's got a rebirth of his career right now on the biggest stage. But it's going to be, I'm not going to say it's over, because anything can happen. Lakers have taken a commanding lead of the series, I agree, but it's not over until it's over. And, you know, that's why this is not a time, if you're the Lakers, this is not a time to take your foot off the gas. Because all it takes is just a little. When you have a team down, you got to put them down. And I'll reference the Clippers. Clippers had Denver down, dead to rights. And they took their foot off the gas because they were focusing on the Lakers. And Denver won one game, won game 5, I think it was. Then they won game 6. And then all the pressure, this is when the butt cheeks are completely clenched, full throttle at that point. And these guys choked, right? So Lakers are up 3-1 against a team that has no pressure on them. They're supposed to lose, right? Mm-hmm. So they have their out. But what if they get another win, right? Look at the win in game 3. Like, it took Jimmy Butler to drop 40, a dominant triple-double there.
Yeah, a 40-point triple-double.
this could be his last game. So I'm thinking you're going to get a Herculean effort from him. I think one thing about Miami, they are a good team from top to bottom. You could tell that they enjoy being around each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so they play hard for each other, and they've taken on the identity of Jimmy Butler, who's a hard-nosed, gritted-out, grinded-out type of guy.
Plus,
he's a dog.
Plus the Miami Heat culture.
Exactly. Sorry. Yeah. And yes. Exactly.
I would say it's probably more than Heat culture. I'm going to touch on Butler in a little bit because I got some.
But I'm talking.
Questions to ask
you
about
need
him,
the culture is strong, but you also need a leader that will enforce that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
And that's what he embodies. It's like a perfect marriage.
Oh no, for sure. Like Butler's tough. Listen. I loved how he played Game 3. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's funny because he's one of those players where his heart and his mind is at a superstar level. Like, he thinks he's better than what he actually is, which
yes.
is actually a good thing in some ways because he
yes.
always plays up to his talent. You know what I mean? Even though he's not a superstar, like, I call him like he's an all-star, like a tough all-star. But I don't think
yeah.
he's a superstar. But
mm-hmm.
because he thinks he's better than he is, you know, like, he's looking at LeBron like, oh, this is mano a mano. You know what I mean?
Even
though, like, most players that's at his talent level may not think that way,
uh-huh.
which is great for him. But that was the thing going into Game 4. I never felt like he was going to do – like, he was going to come close to that Game 3 performance. Don't get me wrong. Game 3 performance that he had was, like, an all-time performance. But I didn't think he was going to come close to that again, which is,
well,
you know,
I
like,
think
at least in Game 4.
I think that was pride. They worked so hard to get here for them to not to give a better effort. Because I think you figured that they didn't give their best effort going forward
mm-hmm.
up until that point. I think the first two games, they were a little uneasy and rattled with the Lakers' length. And obviously, Spoelstra had to go back to what their true identity is. It's just playing hard-nosed defense and start, you know, playing the veterans more. I'm surprised he doesn't play Jones because he's athletic and he could use his length.
Yeah.
But I guess his offensive game doesn't suit what they need right now.
Right now, yeah.
But just from athletic, a big body that can help you take time on guarding LeBron and, you know.
Run the floor, that kind of
thing. Run the floor. Yeah. You know what I mean? Energy, like an energy guy.
Because,
mm-hmm. Like, I'm looking at the scoring here. Butler had 22. Ambiyo had
15.
Crowder had 8. See, Crowder, I think he's, because he's guarding AD and having the body get physical out with Dwight Howard a little bit.
Legs are tired.
That's taken away from his offense.
Yeah, legs are tired.
Duncan Robinson had 17. He had a decent game. And then Tyler Hero had 21.
Ooh, that teardrop was special last night, boy.
Oh, man. That kid is, yeah.
That teardrop was special. That one was sick.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not even downplaying what Jimmy Butler said, to go back to what I was saying before, because he's actually playing well in this series for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
he's been the one thing that's been thriving throughout the entire time, you know, give or take the injuries for the other players and stuff. And it's funny because I agree in a lot of ways, because that the Lakers game, that was a tough game. Like the because they won that game, I just kind of felt like, to me, it's like I said, looking at it last night, and you're right, because in sports you just never know, but just the tone and the energy of that game, I kind of felt like, yo, whoever wins this game, it's either this series gonna go long, or if the Lakers win, the series is over by Friday.
Let me say this, Kelvin, and let me make this clear. I am a LeBron James fan.
Oh, I know you.
Okay,
I know you.
Okay, so let me make that clear. Secondly, I want this guy to get that fourth chip. I want this guy for his legacy. I'm not going to compare him to Michael Jordan right now. I'm going to wait till his career is complete, and then we could judge with two bodies of work. I'm just impressed that this guy is still playing at a high level at this age and running efficiently. Looks like he's extending. I think this is the greatest extension of prime of an athlete's prime ever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this has ever happened before, but especially for basketball. But I think, like, having a couple of days rest in between to refresh and heal up the body, refresh the mind, and get ready to close it out, I think that benefits the Lakers. And we'll see what we got from Miami, what they have left. Adebayo's definitely going to play again. I will be surprised if Dragic touches the floor because he has a serious injury.
Yeah, because I saw him there. You know, they're showing him warming up and stuff, and I'm like, I don't even know why.
Was he moving?
I mean, he was moving gingerly, took a few shots, and he walked off the court gingerly. I don't even know why they're trying to bring him out there to test him. I'm like, you tore your plantar. Like, it's like, what is it? The plantar fasciitis. You tore the muscle.
Yeah.
It's over. You know, like, yeah. It's tough because you don't know when you're ever going to get back to the finals.
Listen,
and this is your opportunity to get there. It's tough. But
if he didn't get injured, this would have been an interesting series.
Oh, for sure. I think I still had the Lakers winning in six, but everybody has to be there. Like, to me,
it would have been a back and forth affair.
Yeah,
because I'm not going to say he's had an amazing playoff run up until this until he got injured. What he did against Boston, I was like, wow. You could see the Steve Nash influence on his game in sense of the transition and dribbling through the key and so forth. Mm-hmm. But what people fail to realize, he's left-handed. He's a veteran.
He's still
he's a big guard. He's like 6'7".
No, he's not that big.
He's 6'6"?
No, he's not that big either. Yeah, I think he's like 6'3", 6'4", I want to give him.
6'4"?
I think so.
Yeah, you sure?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Needless to say, he's a big guard,
mm-hmm.
Right?
No, I agree. Keep going. I'm actually Googling it right now. Yeah, he's 6'3".
He's
6'3"? But again, that's not a small guard, though.
So. Damn it. I thought he was taller than that. Damn, he's 6'3". I was way off. But, he's a big guard.
Oh, tremendously, but keep going.
That's once in a millennium, guy. All right? He's a big guard. He's crafty. And he has all these trick shots around the basket. And he knows how to get his game up. It's funny. He led the team in scoring. That's 21 points. Gone. How are you going to replace that? So, got to give it to Spo for them competing, getting these guys to compete, and get these guys to believe.
No, it's tough, man, because I'll be honest. Like, once he went down and once Bam went down, I lost interest. Like, in the series after that, because I was like, they don't have, like, a real legit... They're going to still play hard because that's in their DNA, but they're not going to have, like, it's not going to be a legitimate shot. I've been watching basketball too long to, that would be the upset of the century if they still were to overcome those two injuries and still walk away with the Larry O'Brien. Like, that would be Bam, beyond insane, but I'm like,
When he got hurt, that was, like... He tried to body Dwight Howard out the way and end up hurting himself.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, Dwight Howard is a brick house. You know what I mean? So, yeah, well, I guess game five will tell the tale, obviously. I'm hoping that these guys will come focused and not take their foot off the gas because that game three was, they were so nonchalant, thinking that they could flip that switch and it came back to bite them.
Now, let me ask you, just in line with what I was saying just before about myself losing interest once those guys got hurt, why do you think the series is rated so low?
I think because there's other sports going on now.
Okay.
I think the ratings were low generally when the bubble was on anyways. I think I got to commend the NBA for supporting the Black Lives Matter and supporting the social injustice that's been going on and using that platform to spread awareness. Sometimes when I see them, still shocked. I like the fact that the education of their vote is more so than ever. They're using their platform for the right reasons. And I like that. But I think corporate America doesn't like seeing that.
Yeah.
You know, basketball is a global sport. We have all nationalities watching it around the world, but in North America, I think a lot of people don't want to see all that stuff. They see it as propaganda, and they don't believe in it, so they rather watch something else. So I think that could be a factor as well. But I know generally when the NBA restarted with the regular season games, the ratings weren't like through the roof.
Yeah.
And
just to give the NBA some leeway in this sense where, well, I agree with some of the points because part of it is The reason why some of the fact of the bubble, like in terms of the ratings, weren't as great, especially early when the restart happened and in the first rounds of the playoffs and such, man, there were games at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, I know.
Jan, like, I mean, I'll be like working and doing stuff and I'll turn it on and I'm like, fuck, there's a game on? You know what I mean?
I'm like,
those games, you know, people aren't really watching that. You know what I mean? Like, you're losing ratings watching those games. I get it because you're
Not having the fans there. I would love to see what their net loss was this year by not having fans and not playing in arenas.
Oh, it's big. Right? Oh, it's big. It's huge.
Oh, right. But I think what they realize is to recoup it, some of that lost was fulfilling the TV deal. So I got to commend them again for coming up with the idea of having a bubble. I think this year was a huge success when there could have been a huge loss. Like, if you look at the other sports, they're struggling. Yeah. They're struggling. And it's just like, I don't understand, like, how you could see the NBA model, see how it was successful, but you're going to, like, play. So it's just interesting to see how things are, like, baseballs have a lot of confirmed cases. NBA has not had one confirmed case.
Yeah.
Through the bubble and the playoffs.
NHL and NBA both got it right with the bubble situations that they had.
Having a centralized location.
Hubs, yeah. Like, yeah. They had it right. They had it right. And I'm you're going to see some other sports, especially when certain college sports comes back, like especially like NCAA basketball. And before they were talking January where the season was going to start back. And now they're saying, well, they may start it in November, see what happens. They may set up some bubble tournaments. You know what I mean? Where everybody's just in one area. Like, you know, they've had those in the past, but it's going to be obviously a lot more restrictive. You're seeing the benefits of how that works for both, you know, the NBA and the NHL, but we're talking NBA, so we'll stick to that. But yeah. I think the ratings are low for a few things. Like I said, again, the games being on early. I mean, don't get me wrong. I loved watching games while I was working, but again, it's just you're not watching it the same way. You know what I mean? When it's on at 1:30, you know, that's
I'll
tough.
Say this. If you got to remember, the two LA teams are loaded with stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to make sure they put that LA game
later, of course.
At the later game at 9 o'clock.
Of course.
To get that audience, that's a huge audience, plus LeBron's fans, his haters, the Clippers, right? Paul George, are they going to do it? Are they going to, you know what I mean? I remember some of the Toronto Raptor games were early.
Oh man, half their playoff games were at one. Was that 1:30?
Yeah, it's not appealing to the world, right? Because they don't have like that star, that superstar, mm-hmm. right? Because Kawhi left, I guess.
Right.
But I mean, so yeah, I agree with you in that sense.
Yeah, and I
the
think
times.
And I think some of it was that. I think it's a melting pot of a few things. So some of it is that. I think some of it is. I think. As great as the upsets were in the bubble in terms of like the lower seeds winning, I think going in this situation where it's the finals now, some of that is coming to bite them back in the ass. So like Milwaukee losing, for example, I mean, you know, we're seeing Miami win obviously because they beat Milwaukee. The Clippers choking and stuff, I think it affected how people were felt about watching the rest of the playoffs going forward. Like it sucked away at people's interest.
I'll be honest with you. I think the audiences that appreciate the game and love the game, the diehards, will have appreciated what happened thus far, right, to this moment, right? One. Two, I think the bubble exposed a lot of people. A lot of people and a lot of teams. If you're not in shape, or if you didn't keep yourself in shape, it showed. Kawhi Leonard looked gassed. He looked tired, and I think the bubble and the load management backfired on him because he didn't have that next gear to level up when he needed it.
Well, and the games are back-to-back, too, right?
And the games are, well, it's back-to-back one day in between. He has to play all the games.
Well, that's what I mean. Games every other day, I mean.
It just goes against the load management theory, right? The Harrell guy, he was out of shape. He, unfortunately, he had a death in the family.
Yeah.
Lou Williams, oh, my goodness. That's a distraction. So you could tell like it's coming out now, but you could tell they weren't a team. It was just all talent. And so it was, I think, to be honest with you, I really believe, even though I think they would give, they'll be up for the Lakers, but I think the Lakers were still a better team. So when it came to those moments when they could be fluent in an offense, like when it comes to like 10 possessions, are you able to score at least 6 to 7 times out of 10 possessions? That's what a half-court offense really is. And I don't think, if you're relying on hero ball, 10 of those 10 possessions against a set defense in the playoffs, that doesn't favor you. And so that's what happened with the Clippers. They got exposed against a better team, right? Their offenses were forced, and they couldn't play defense, and Jokic went off.
Yeah, I mean, with the Clippers thing, I mean, I've discussed it in different podcasts because I've on different podcasts, but the last one, how upset I was at them because that like they choked away the opportunity.
Yeah,
they didn't make adjustments. I mean, I already said my piece on them. They didn't make adjustments and everything else. But I'm just saying, like overall, I think some of the upsets, like in this sense, because the predictability, the one thing about the bubble was. You never know what was going to happen. Series were before where it's like, if it was just a regular format, Milwaukee probably would have beat Miami. Maybe it would have been 7 games, but they probably would have beat them just from home court advantage.
That crowd.
On the road, you know what I mean? The travel, the first time being in a, all that stuff kicks in. But when you're in this environment, all that pressure is gone. So it takes it back to the essence, which is great. Like, I love that part of it. But I think once those teams, the big teams, got knocked off and the Lakers were left standing, like nobody can tell me different. I really believe that people saw that and a predictability came. But that's part of it as well, because like I said, it's a melting pot. I think it sucked away at people's interest. The other part where you're probably not going to want to hear this, I think there's a LeBron James oversaturation. I think that's part of it too. Yeah, you know, and I know I'm talking to LeBron fan. I don't hate him, so I don't, let's be clear. But the fact that he's been in 10 finals, you know what it's kind of like? it's kind of like similar to like 50 Cent's dominance in the 2000s. You know when 50 Cent came out?
Or Kevin Hart. We'll use Kevin Hart.
Okay, to make it more recent. Sure, Kevin Hart. Right. Kevin Hart. That's a good example. Kevin Hart, you know, the beginning of the decade. I'm the grown little man, all the stand-up comedians. I went to go see him at the Sony Center about 7-8 years ago. Funny, loved it. I still love him in interviews and stuff, but between all the movies and all the social media stuff, everything else, you're just kind of like, I know you're successful. I know your tours are doing great, but can I see something else? You know?
Yeah.
And that's what LeBron kind of like, I think being in 10 finals in the last 10 years or nine finals in the last 10 years. And between that, his name dominating all the sports shows on like ESPN and all those different things, there's a bit of a LeBron fatigue. So, I think that's where the predictability comes in. So it's like, you know what it is? Cause I said this before, like if the Clippers, met up with the Lakers and the Lakers won, I think people would look at it in a sense where it's like, okay, you might have the LeBron haters still being mad that they beat the Clippers, but at least you saw that series. Yeah. Everybody was looking forward to it. You saw it. It happened. The Lakers beat them. Yeah. You know what? Fuck it. You may hate them. You may love them, whatever, but you gotta respect it. Keep it moving. Yeah. But because we didn't see that, it's like, fuck, you know?
Okay. You gotta play the game. You gotta play the opponent that's in front of you. And that's where I tend to disagree with you. My thing is, I see it this way. I agree with the LeBron fatigue, but you got to remember, I remembered when Jordan was on the second three-peat. I was like, and he retired and he came back. And he was getting ready to start the second three-peat. And I just remember saying to myself, geez, this guy's not going to be playing much longer. I need to really embrace and appreciate these last moments, because I don't think he's going to play, especially that last year when they're going for the three-peat, with all the turmoil going into it. I was like, man, this guy might walk away again. He most likely might walk away again. I need to appreciate it. So the reason why I use that as an example, it's the same thing I have for LeBron. He's been great for 17 years. Excellent. consistently. And we get tired of it because he put 28, 12, and 9. And we're like, yeah, he had 5 turnovers. We take it for granted. I am appreciating it because I know it's not going to be there in another 5 years. Who knows how much longer he plays for? I'll be intrigued to see how that goes. But I appreciate it because I know it's not going to be there. So I'm embracing his greatness. Like, it's weird. You see him, this guy's in the top 5 in every playoff statistical category. It's crazy. I saw he's like 3rd all time in 3-pointers. But yeah, he's been there so many years, yeah. Of course. Right? So I think I'm intrigued to see how it all ends. And I'm glad to be a witness of this legacy.
But you know, but you know what? To touch on your Jordan point,
yeah.
where I dissect that just a little bit is, I agree with you. I was with you in '98 when you're talking about like just appreciating his greatness in terms of you don't know how long this is gonna last and everything else. But I think part of it is because we saw him retire the first time. We saw what the league was like without him for a year and a half. You know what I mean? So we knew there was a possibility that this guy could kind of walk again. I think that those 3 years, I think people really appreciated him more so than they did before. Like the first time, people there was the
we saw it all the time. It was everyday news.
Yeah,
right?
Like it became something where it's like people, the casual fan really appreciated him at that point.
Yeah.
You know, where I think because this run has been extended with the super teams, with all that stuff, player stacking, everything else. I just think there's a certain level of fatigue as well that goes into that pot too. Plus the NFL is back. That's the other part of it too. I think, you said other sports to mention that before. And, to touch on something we kind of grazed over a little bit. Like, I know a good amount of people, who either didn't watch the bubble or checked out because just with everything that's happening with the social issues, I know there's a lot of people that didn't agree with the NBA coming back,
yeah.
Between just coming back during a pandemic and putting their lives on the line to play.
Yeah.
And then just with everything that's been happening from the anti-black racism movement.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a lot. I mean, and I'm not talking casual fans. I'm talking like ballers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That are like, man, I can't, like, fuck that. I ain't watching this, man. Or, like, did you watch the game today? Yeah, not really. Yeah. No. You're just like, wow. And I get it. I'm not looking at anybody crazy for doing that. I'm like, yeah, I get it. I totally get it. So I think it's just a whole melting pot of, like, different things that are making the ratings so low. Although the ratings was probably the highest for game 4 than it was for any other game in the series, it's still much lower than it was even last year. You know?
I'll take the good with the bad, in a sense of I rather having something to watch. I'm thinking like how I am, there's a possibility that Friday might be it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's going to force me to either watch NFL.
Are you a football guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And or like, what am I going to do with myself when it's time to watching TV? Or I'm going to have to kill my Netflix overdrive
again,
right?
Again,
right, again, yeah. And I just opened up my Netflix and shared it with my mom and my aunt, and they're I created accounts for them, and they keep going into my account. It pisses me off. But yeah,
are they wiping shows and movies off your list?
Yeah, they're just yeah. Like, they don't know what they're doing.
You're like, I put Project Power on here. What's going on?
Like, yeah. Like, I created their own account, and they go into mine. That makes no sense. But, yeah. But, I just take the good with the bad, and I'm going to appreciate it. Whether it goes 5 games or 6, I'm going to appreciate it. And hopefully, I prefer it to end sooner because I want this guy to get that chip. I mean, patiently waiting. I have a close friend. He wants to erupt, but I'm telling him, enjoy the process, because if someone gets hurt, it just changes the whole dynamic, and then then we have an interest, intriguing theory, right? So, I want to see LeBron get this 4th chip and see what happens.
So, this is actually my next question. Well, it actually wasn't my next question, but I'll make this my next question. So, just I asked this question in the last podcast, so I feel like I may as well ask you this. But in your eyes, what does winning this title mean for LeBron? What does winning the 4th ring mean for him? I don't think anything changes personally in history, but You may make the difference.
I think he's already a mate, man. I think he's already on Mount Rushmore on the all-time greats. I just think it pushes him in another category where others haven't, in the sense of the three championships with three different organizations, the four MVP, playoff MVPs. That will put him in another rarefied air. It just cements his case, his legacy as an all-time great. The more the merrier type of thing. And look at the Lakers. If they, like, okay, they got a chip in the second year of this project. Let's see how many more they can get, right? What's going to happen next year, right? Who are they going to bring in, right? The team has, they can't win another chip with the exact same piece. They're going to have to reload and get hungrier guys. Get that Danny Green guy out of here. But holy, this guy gives me anxiety. This guy will hit a three, then turn over the ball, then take a stupid foul, then hit a three, then block a shot. It's like he's so up and down, you know. Vogel didn't even put him in the fourth quarter. He said, yeah, you know what? We're not going to take a chance with you, buddy. KCP, Caruso, Kuzma, you eat those minutes.
It's funny because I know there's a lot of Raptors fans that's kind of nodding your head from last year's run. Like,
I'm so shocked. I think it's a mental thing, but it's weird because he's been, like, it's weird. Like, I was obviously a Miami Heat fan when LeBron was there, and the series when he broke the finals record, he couldn't miss. He could not miss.
It was arguable that he could have won that MVP, to be honest with you.
Exactly. Like, wow. And then I see this guy now, and it's just like, okay, where's the consistency, man? He's so up and down. He's so hot and cold. So it's weird because he's a veteran. We would figured out that he would have, like, you know, I don't know. So it just comes to show you don't know what's going on in these guys' minds or in their individual worlds, but, like, just no consistency with him. I'm very happy to see KCP getting his shine because this guy went through hell. Oh, man, he's gone through hell. So it's like a coming out party for him. I like what Kuzma's doing. He's not forcing it as much. Just playing within himself, playing within the system. I like, what's his name there? His name escapes me. Caruso. And, yeah. Of course, I like Caruso. I like the energy.
The YMCA smart guy.
Huh?
The YMCA player.
Yeah. Just smooth. Does little things that don't show up in the stat.
And not the Scarborough YMCA player. Maybe like the Bayview YMCA player.
Oh, wow, eh? Wow. Not even downtown. Not even giving downtown Y. But, yeah, he's cool. And then, of course, Rondo. I love Rondo and I love what he does. He's like a general. He keeps everyone engaged, and he keeps everyone together. There's one thing I teach the teams that I coach. Whenever there's a foul call and everyone's lining up to go to the foul line, I put it in them that they have to huddle. So it's like a mini timeout for a good 5 to 10 seconds between when the foul is called and the referee walks over to the table to give the number and the foul. You have a good 5 to 10 seconds to kind of huddle up quick, get the message, get it back on the same page, and then line up, right? And I saw, if you notice, especially with that second unit, he's constantly in communication with all of them. When guys are shooting free throws, he's talking to them, get their mind, because sometimes as a basketball player, your mind kind of fades in and out, and that's when you have mistakes, and this is the finals. You got to be locked in, and you got to be engaged, right? So that's another reason why I'm impressed with Kuzma, because he's shown a lot of maturity.
I thought they took his soul this year.
Yeah, but it's for a greater good because he's gonna get a chip.
I hope so, but
yeah, for sure, because like he might get traded, but he'll be a champion. He's an NBA champion, then he could get off and go. And if he goes somewhere else, he could either stay with the Lakers and win chips or contend for chips, or go somewhere else and put up numbers on a sub 500 team, but get his numbers. But he's a champion.
But he's right? A champion. That answer is cute. Jan said he might get traded. He's getting traded.
Like, who knows? I would keep him because he represents the future.
Absolutely. And absolutely. That's why I'm
like, if you could get someone, he'll definitely be a name that will be in that trade block.
But my whole thing is, like, you know, when they said the LeBron narrative of, like, how he makes everybody else better. I'm like a guy like Kuzma. I'm like, okay, if we can make everybody better, make that guy better. Like, he's a little immature. He's rough around the edges. But that kid's a talent.
Yeah, you got to remember, Kelvin, look at his first few years in the league. It was a free-for-all. That wasn't basketball. That was just a party.
Basketball. Yeah, he was a gunner.
Right?
For sure.
And then, bam, right into the fire. Thrown into the fire. And he did quite admirable in that first year. It's just that AD.
He did. He played well. I thought he played well last year.
Yeah. But it was just that AD, playing behind AD and LeBron was a huge, it took him a while. And what hurt him was that he got injured in the preseason. So that set him back. So when he came back, he wasn't in rhythm with the rest of the players. So he went through the season trying to find his flow. So that's why he was up and down. And he got humbled because he wasn't putting up nowhere near the numbers he did the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And not the kind of numbers that will get you like on Kendall or Kylie Jenner's radar. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, exactly. But he's on those prime time. It's a drawback. It's a humbling because it's a sacrifice. That's why I prefer winning than being on a team and putting up mad numbers. Because at the end of the day, you're not competing for the chip, the championship. The reason why we're playing for this in the first place, right? I'd rather win and keep winning and enjoy winning because that's enjoyable rather than losing and putting up. There's nothing worse than putting up 50 in loots or 40 in loots or a triple double in loots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
wasted work.
Yeah, it's wasted work. I'd rather be on a team with a group of guys that I enjoy being with and or have the same mindset and willing to. Sometimes you have to sacrifice a little for the greater good of us. You know what I mean? So I think that's what he bought into. And so some games you're going to have 17, some games you're going to have 11, some games you're going to have 25, some games you're going to have 7. After a while, you start to be even keel with your emotions, and that's when you get the consistency. And so I think you're starting to see that now. So I think his future with the Lakers is bright, if not a blockbuster deal happens.
I like that. If.
If. Because, getting, you know, like, if they have, like, if getting, a Bradley Beal
he's getting
come
traded,
over.
He's getting traded, Jan. He's getting traded.
Right? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I hope Kuzma's renting. That's what I think about that because I think he's getting traded.
Well, he had the game that they lost, eh? He had 17.
Oh, again, I'm not questioning him. I think he's a talented player. But
yeah, he had 17.
But I think, I mean, look, I think that, you know, the Lakers, you know, like I said, I think basically this series is pretty much done. But look, LeBron wanted to have Kawhi come to he wants the super team thing. So I don't think that shit is over yet. Like, even though this worked and they won, I think playing with two, like, you know, having him and AD and surrounding yourself with really good players is enough. I think that's where it's enough. Like, I think that, like, when Kawhi went to the Clippers, I was happy because I was like, okay, I hope the super team shit is dead
the
now.
The competition spread.
Yeah, like, I want to, like, I'm tired of the super team shit.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm like, I think when you're talking about Bradley Beal, like, yeah, I don't think this is over. I think somebody else is going to be coming to LA.
Oh, for sure. It's already in the works. It just hasn't been done yet.
Yeah.
It's not official yet. But I'll say this. They're going to probably, I don't think they can repeat with the exact same team, A, because of complacency. You know, you get that championship hangover. If you remember, the Miami Heat won the championship, and that next year, they got swept at the playoffs.
Oh, you're talking right? The 06 team.
The 06 team with Shaq.
Because it was an older team, and they partied.
Yeah.
They said they partied like legends.
And you're in Miami. And you're in Miami, right? So they're in L.A. So you want to get a couple guys that have a guy chip, got a couple guys that are looking for that, you know, that are hungry, right? So sometimes you got to replace the roster, right? Like, look at J.R. Smith.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you're saying you don't want J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters to come back?
Nah, man, can't have that guy there. He's a good guy, hang out off the court, but, like, maybe he's, I don't know, I can't say that. I'm judging him by his history. Mm-hmm. But who knows who the person he is now? He seems like he's bought into what they've got and understand that, okay, I might not play another minute, but I'm okay with it because I understand I'm going to get another chip. And I can, when it's all said and done, no one's going to remember if I played or not 20 years from now. Right? Yeah. So,
like, just to answer my question from before, like, again, I don't think, to me, this doesn't change anything for me with LeBron. Like, I still think he's a, you know, like a top five, top 10 player all time. And like, I think he's, I still think, you know, he's the greatest player of his generation. I don't think it changes anything, really. Like, you know, like, I don't, like, winning the four title at this
point.
Four
is more than three, Kelvin.
No, listen, no, I, well, like I said in the last pod, it moves him in a certain, like, in a certain echelon in terms of, like I said, he passes like a guy like a Larry Bird.
But, I'm gonna, yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, like, so no, in terms of winning rings, yes. Yeah. In terms of success of like percentage success of how many rings you won to how many you lost, yeah, you won 40% of the time. It's not up there with all the greats in history when you look at the percentage way, of that aspect. But in terms of rings, yes, for sure. Like, but that's why I'm like, it isn't for me. It doesn't change anything. But go on.
I say this. When he had three, I still thought he was better than Larry Bird. Okay, I think you get ready, strap in, buddy. I think that Cleveland championship should be worth two.
See, and that's that bullshit right there. That's that bullshit right there. That's that bullshit
playing,
right there.
I'm playing. But yo, that was a hell of a feat, man. Come on now. Yeah, but yeah, man. I think the fourth ring will definitely help his case when everything's all said and done. And I think you have an opportunity. I think this experience for AD is only going to help him going forward, so he doesn't have to. I think the motto this year was, listen, young man, young fella, we're going to ride your ass to the finals, and I'll bring us home. I think that was the deal, right? Get me to the finals, and I'll finish it.
Yeah,
we can finish it together.
I think, you know, like, I don't think, okay, so let's be clear. So let's be clear about this. So nobody made Anthony Davis better, but I think the influence that LeBron has on Anthony Davis is the fact that, because, you know, AD, the biggest thing was he never played through injuries. Every time he got poked in his eye,
he
stubbed his toe, he was out. He was
gone. Soft like porridge, man.
And trust me, I had him on my fantasy team for a couple of years. It was mad frustrating. We look at the scoreboard, and you're like, wait a minute. How does he have 8 points? What the fuck happened? And then you realize he got poked in his eye and he was gone. Yeah. He's gone for two games. You're like, you gotta be kidding me right now.
Yeah.
Even the last game, he got injured a few times. You know,
he kept
getting up.
He was not coming off that floor. Yeah, no, and because he understands what's at stake here.
Yeah, the it changed.
You know,
it changed.
So
that part,
his maturity as a elite athlete, I think it's only going to help him. I just want him to get more shot in the paint. It will set up everything else. He's one of the few players that can influence the game without even scoring. But he can score inside. He can score outside. He can score from. He's an amazing free throw shooter. And so my only thing with him is that, you know, the injuries. He's soft. He was soft like porridge. This year he's proven to be durable. Concerns with him was that would he get injured during the playoff run, and does LeBron have enough to carry this team, right? So I'm glad that he's made it thus far, and I look forward to seeing him, you know, mature and he has another level that I think he needs to make to cement his legacy. And I think LeBron's going to be on for the ride. LeBron's like, yo, let's win chips. You know, let's get chips.
Yeah.
If LeBron gets six or seven chips, that will definitely help his, like, if he gets a two-peat, if he gets a three-peat, like, anything can happen from now, right?
Yeah.
So,
I don't know if that's going to happen.
Okay, but what I'm trying to say is, here's my thing.
Well, sorry, go ahead.
Here's my thing.
Go ahead.
going back to the first Golden State run, I was pissed off that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love got injured, because I think that team would have beaten Steph and them, because they're such a young team. But they got that championship. They beat LeBron in six. They got that championship. They got that confidence, and they got that swagger. So they're even harder to beat the next year, right? Then you have the Lakers now. If they get this championship, the AD gets that confidence. They get that cohesion, a year together through the trenches, right? That's an advantage going against other players and next year's playoffs, right?
Yeah, I, you know what? It's...
For example, let me finish this.
Go ahead.
For example, let's say hypothetically the Clippers meet LA next year in the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I would favor right now the Lakers, because they're the better team. They've been there, they've done that, and they have that gear. They know that if they have to hit that gear, that championship level gear, they can. Where you have Kawhi, who's a walking mime, who can't exert his leadership off the court or on, so there's no connection, right? Mm-hmm. There's no leadership there. Who's the leader in that locker room? It was supposed to be
He can hit that gear. He knows how to hit that gear. Nobody else on that team does. Kawhi.
Yeah, but you need others.
No, of course.
Right? Of course. And sometimes, like, your leadership, okay, your leadership comes in different forms. When you're a mime and you're emotionless, that doesn't rub well with those guys. Those guys are personalities. They part of their identity is through communication. There's no communication.
No, I know. And that's the one thing I did say, where some of the responsibility of that Clippers implosion falls at Kawhi's feet, because I think next year going into the season, if I'm his team, I would be like, I know you don't like to talk, but you're going to have to show a little more emotion. You know what I mean? And I don't mean like for us. I mean like just in terms of leadership, because the way he was leading this year was like, you saw, like, at least for me, I was catching it a lot where if his teammates made mistakes, you saw his reaction and he didn't wear it well.
Yeah.
You know, it was like other teams, he never did that. But this, I don't know what was going on this year. You know, when Shamet didn't handle his pass right, you saw him like, oh, Jesus Christ. But like he wasn't even doing that last year with the Raptors.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I never saw him do that in San Antonio. So that's what I mean. Yeah. So it's like that part, I would be like, okay, like he's gotta come in with a different mindset.
I think he's come a long way.
Oh, his absolutely. Personality. Absolutely.
But I think still you have that group looked like everyone was on different chapters on what the team should do. They weren't all on the same page. There wasn't a they definitely lacked the chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Doc has to take that hit. And he did.
And look, you're saying if they met up in the they met up in the conference finals next year. Yeah, of course I'm taking the Lakers. Now the freaking team imploded at this point.
You don't even know
what this team's going to look like next year.
Look like, yeah, I know.
You know,
I
so
know.
Of course I take him. So you're saying with this championship swagger, the Lakers win. AD's got the swagger, you know, if they bring in Bradley Beal, all this.
You can't take away, like, you can't, I always take experience over youth.
Right.
Because,
right.
Especially in a 7-game series, experience shines. And I don't know if you realize, like, you got guys like Markieff Morris. He was huge, both defensively and hitting threes, spacing the floor, making plays for AD to get a couple baskets. Like, those are mature. Like, he had a play where he could have forced the layup himself, but he said, let me give it to my guy who needs to get his confidence going. A dunk. Let me get this guy a dunk. He drove, dished it to AD, got him a dunk to kind of get him going a little bit in the first half, you know? And then Rondo, look at in crunch time, how many times he stole the ball. Him and Caruso, it looks like Miami got the defensive rebound. They came, knocked the ball out of their hand to get them another possession. Those are championship level plays that are not happening on the Clippers or the Milwaukee Bucks. Those are veteran plays from winners or guys that are all dialed in, that are willing to do the little things for the greater good of the team. And that's why that's why Lakers were able to kind of pull away in that last little stretch there.
I'm amazed with Rondo in terms of that. I can't believe playoff Rondo is reared its head in 2020. I'm actually amazed by that. I shouldn't be amazed by that, because really and truly, you know, 2 years ago when he was on the Pelicans, You know, he showed you a lot of flashes of that. You know,
this guy shut down. They like, listen.
They destroyed Portland.
New Orleans, you're getting props for that. You're getting props for what was happening in Chicago. Because until he got injured against the Boston Celtics.
Oh, they were going to be Boston. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. Right? I agree.
So, like, because you got to remember, he set the tone. He's a floor general on the floor. He's
really
high
smart.
Basketball IQ. Yeah. I think he hit a big basket. That layup was his first basket in the fourth quarter. That big layup on Adebayo. That was huge.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm talking about. That's his first basket in the fourth quarter. A rookie might be shook because he hasn't scored yet. Right? You know what I mean? So that's why I take a veteran player that has championship experience. He's perfect for what they're trying to do. He's very complimentary to LeBron because he allows LeBron just to focus on scoring. Because if you notice, sometimes LeBron holds the ball, he slows the game down, and the guys tend to stand and watch. And he needs people to keep moving on the weak side to keep the defense occupied. But what they did was, he carried them a little bit, then he said, I could tell he was tired, he let Rondo run the offense, and that's when he did those screen and roll plays with AD where he took the ball to the basket, got that layup, and then he dished it to AB to hit that big three. Those are two key possessions that LeBron will have to kind of make something out of nothing, right? So his importance was huge. It won't show up in the stats, but it will show within the flow of the game. So good on him. And I think he's going to be the first player to ever win for Boston and
L.A.? Is it really?
Yeah.
Huh, that'd be interesting.
But I think it's
kudos to him because he shows you he still has something left in the tank. Now, with all that being said, in terms of, you know, like L.A. wins next year, you'd run a ride with L.A. because you're obviously a LeBron fan, everything else. Are we just discounting Golden State?
No. I mean, I'm just saying it was just a hypothetical scenario I was making up. I think the West is going to be action-packed, and I think it's going to be highly competitive. I think the NBA might move to putting the top 16 teams in format, or
yeah,
because that we'll get better finals. You know,
I think the West is
heavy, man.
Yeah, I think personally, like it's like I keep saying, I think this window for LA, like I think this is the window right now.
This is the window, yeah.
Like this is the window where it's like you know, like you gotta take it, guaranteed for sure, because we don't know what's gonna happen next year.
Yeah, yeah. Golden State is definitely in. Hey, by the way, it's funny you bring that up. They're practicing now.
I know.
They're practicing right now.
I know.
They're training together right now.
I know. And guess what? Clay's 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clay's 100%. And I'll be honest, Jan. Like, you know, I know we showed, like, you know, the last pod, we sent all our roses to Jamal Murray. Love Jamal Murray. But listen, man, I'm very interested to see what happens with Wiggins if they decide to keep him, because
I think they'll give him either
a couple months
to the trade deadline or a year to show himself because they need him.
Yeah,
I think it depends on his mental toughness and his mental fortitude right now. To be honest with you.
Well, you're going to find out. I think you're going to find out.
Yeah, they're going to put him in a position where he can succeed because he's not going to be. There's not going to be pressure on him. The pressure's going to be on Clay and Curry and Draymond Green, right? He just has to be complimentary and he's a super athletic 6'8" wingman. You need him to guard LeBron, the Kawhis, the KDs. You know what I mean? You need him. So I don't see him. Even if he flops, they need him defensively, and they'll just make him a spot up shooter.
And the thing is, Jan, sorry not to cut you, but the thing that's intriguing with him, and this is why this team secretly is perfect for him, right? It could actually be a perfect situation for him, because you look at the culture that's in Golden State now. They're three-time champions. They reversed all their bad luck, and they've had the amount of success they had. Like I said, this year was a gap year. Like I keep calling it was a gap year they had this year. You know, through injuries, everything else is a gap year. So they're coming back refreshed. they're coming back hungry. You have a situation where your superstar on the team, one of the faces of the league, is a guy that does like what when Durant was there, what superstar would allow the third option to score 60 points and you're celebrating like you're the 12th man on the bench.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a unique situation. Yeah. So somebody like him can be the third scorer. Like he can still average 20 a night. It's not gonna affect Clay or Steph.
No,
and that's so super
especially in
unique.
That system. But they're gonna have with this athleticism. They're gonna make him play better defense. Mm-hmm. Like they're gonna make him use play to his potential defensively. But they're gonna open up his. I think Steve Kerr's influence will be more in a basketball IQ mm-hmm. and more of a cerebral way mm-hmm. to get him thinking the game more in a smart to slow down. I think they're gonna have him scoring off of cuts. So he's gonna get a lot of dunks and backdoor lobs. Mm-hmm. They're gonna have him curls. They're gonna have him split screens. They're gonna have him handling the ball. Like they're gonna have him. They're gonna open him up, and because they could go small with their death lineup. You know what I'm saying? He could mm-hmm. be more. I won't say an Iguodala, but like more of an upgrade to Barnes.
He could be. He could be an Iguodala.
But Iguodala was supposed to be the guy, but he was more of a team guy. So he never lived up to the hype. Because when he got drafted, he was a top five, or I think it was a top five or top seven pick.
He was a lottery pick. But I never saw him as a franchise player, though, even when he was coming out of Arizona.
Yeah, well, that's why they traded him out of Philly.
Philly, right. Because he wasn't that guy.
He was supposed to be the guy after Iverson, because Iverson and those guys left. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be the guy.
But I mean, I don't know what GM thought he was going to be, like the franchise saver. He was never going to be that guy. But I get what you're saying. But I'm actually hoping he doesn't get traded. Like I actually hope he stays because I think I think Wiggins because I think it'll actually be great for him.
It would be great.
I think it'll be great for him.
If this is it for his career.
I agree.
To have a legitimate, good long flowing career. This is it.
And a major impact. I agree. I agree with
you. Right? This is it, man. So
and don't forget the Draymond Green factor too, because you need that bully on your back sometimes too.
Yeah, but some players either embrace that or they shell up. You know what I'm saying? So you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Golden State's gonna be good. Portland's gonna be good.
Denver's gonna be good.
Denver.
Yeah.
I don't know what's gonna happen with Houston. I don't know what's gonna happen with.
Clippers, I still think the Clippers are going to, because I'm like, to me, the biggest thing is they got to sign back Montrez. If they don't sign him back, I think it's going to be, I know some people are like, he can go, but I'm like, I don't know. I think he brought so much energy, especially as a big. With the scoring, I think it's going to be tough to, they got to keep him. They'd be crazy to let him go. But again, it's what are you going to spend on him? That's the tricky part.
He wants a decent contract within what they're going to offer him. So they're going to talk, obviously. But I think it starts with the coach. You got to have a respectable coach that these players will respect. Is that Ty Lue? You think that'll be Ty Lue? Or is it someone that's out there now?
Yeah.
Right? I'm intrigued to see where Ty Lue coaches next. I think the Pelicans would be a good spot for him.
I think it would be, too.
There's no pressure. And he has that Griffin connection as the general manager.
And you get to build with Cleveland. Zion.
Yeah, but also he has a chance to win a championship with LeBron. That'll be his motivation, right?
Against LeBron. Against LeBron, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Without and against, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He obviously will probably have to beat him to get there, right? So, so I'm intrigued to see who's the next coach. They just need a system that can get out their game, and they need a point guard. Chris Paul will be perfect. I can see the Chris Paul thing coming because Doc and him didn't see eye to eye. So now that Doc's gone, who knows? But it'll be interesting. They need a point guard.
Well, I was hearing rumors about but I don't know if they're gonna. You'd have to get rid of George. But I was hearing rumors of Jrue Holiday, which was interesting.
Jrue Holiday, yeah, I heard that.
I thought that would be interesting.
He
would be perfect, but they're not. Because to me. Like I know I'm hearing the Chris Paul thing. That's like completely 1,000% not happening. His contract is worth way too much. He makes way more than Kawhi and Paul George right now. There's no way that's going
to
happen unless
they'll have to trade away the whole roster to get Chris Paul.
Exactly. It's going to be the three of them and G League players to represent
and me and you.
Yeah,
guys.
Exactly. Yeah. Like playing 12 man minutes. I might be able to get up a shot. That might be it. Maybe.
Oh, I'm Hey, if I touch floor, I'm jacking him.
The one shot.
Yeah, I'm taking it. Dallas is another one too. Dallas is going to be good. Dallas is going to be interesting too.
Yeah.
But can Porzingis stay healthy?
That's the thing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, can he stay healthy? You got to remember, this guy's a 7-footer that moves like a guard. Look at KD.
I know.
Same thing. Your body's not supposed to naturally move like that, man. At that height. That's why he's getting all these lower extremity injuries.
Yeah.
Right?
And for bigs, that's never good when he start going down that train of having bad.
Right? KD's legacy is in question right now, because if it's cut short because of his injuries, you'll never know his true potential and his greatness.
Like,
right?
I think it's funny with KD, and I was having this conversation with somebody just yesterday, I believe. But with KD, it's interesting because I think he might be the one that breaks that, like, in terms of, because, you know, everybody has torn their Achilles. It's only Dominique Wilkins that came back to somewhat of the same player.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody that's torn.
His points went up.
Yeah.
He came back.
Right. But pretty much everybody who's done that never came back the same. Because I think he's going to lose something because it's your Achilles and he's in his 12th year or 13th year.
He might lose some of his speed and explosiveness as a 7-footer, but his handle is so good.
Oh, no, he'll be – and I didn't mean to cut you off again. But I'm like, that's the point I was going to make, is that I think being a 7-footer, the high release point, the way he can create shots, his handle.
He can move him to a 4, make him a traditional 4 or even a 5.
Yeah,
right?
He'll be fine. I think that aspect, he's going to be fine because he's just he's too tall, you know?
Yeah.
I think he'll be fine. But before we go, I wanted to jump into to Jimmy Butler just a little bit before we wrap up. Has a level been raised in terms of how you see Jimmy Butler?
Oh, most definitely. Mm. I've always had respect for him as a basketball player and as a hard-nosed, grinded-out type of guy. But I think this was more or less a coming-out party. I think he's a superstar. I think he's a star, an all-star. He's definitely an all-star, but he definitely has a personality. It's just the consistency. Sometimes I guess you gotta get a taste of the big dance to kind of fully embrace it and appreciate it. So who knows how he evolved? But one thing I must say, and I'm happy for him, is that he's constantly got better from his days in Chicago. They're all a quiet bounce away from making the conference finals. Who knows how that series went if it went to overtime?
Yeah.
Last year against Toronto and Philly, you know, he took Minnesota to the playoffs and competed with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hard personality to handle, but he's just a passionate guy about winning, and he's old fashioned in that sense. So I'm very happy for him. I think he's got an opportunity to showcase his skills, and he's doing well at that. And I think he's definitely leveled up as a player.
Yeah, I think amongst his peers, I don't know if he raised his profile too much because he already gets their respect. But I'll tell you, like, when he was going through that issue with the Timberwolves and with Wiggins and with Towns and all that stuff, the one thing he kept saying is like, yo, I need dogs to play with, like, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, he was right about a lot of things. He just went about it in an asshole issue.
Definitely.
100%. The move to Philly, that was an all or nothing move. I like the move. I still like the move. It just didn't work out for them. But I thought that move was a great move. But from the time he was going through the stuff with Minnesota, I kept saying, like, if this is what he's talking about, he wants, you know, he wants guys he can ride with. I'm like, there's only one team he should be playing for, and it's Miami. I kept saying this for years, like, the lot, you know, from when that was happening. I'm like, Miami is a team that has the culture. They're the ones that believe in hard work. That, you know, their practices are some of the most notorious, in the league, like in league history. Like there's no team that practices or plays harder like on a regular basis than the Heat do. Than the Heat do. Like just that's just what it is for decades. That's just what it is. Yeah. You know, like there's so much evidence of that. So I'm like, to me, that's like the perfect team.
Well, I saw what they did. They came to Toronto and they beat Toronto in Toronto early in the first half of the season.
I remember that.
And I watched how they had the bodies to lock down Pascal. Pascal Siakam played like crap, and that was the main difference. Pascal, not to go off topic, but I'll say it. I want to say that he got exposed this year bad, and I feel for the guy, but, you know, you can't, like, that was bad. And I hope that he's mentally tough to take the criticism and come back tougher and stronger and better. But, man, he got exposed. Oh, that was bad. And, you know, it's just sometimes it's too much too soon. You can't thrust someone into that role if they're not, if their game isn't polished enough, one, and their mind's not there. He psychologically took a hit. With that said, you know, who knows what the future lies for him, but he got exposed. Oh, that was bad. Oh, that was bad. But he is, once again, a player that relies heavily in the transition. He gets 10 to 15 points in transition points. He's a 6'9", long, athletic wing that's a gazelle running the fast break. Mm-hmm. And his game doesn't translate in the playoffs because, especially in the Eastern Conference, we're playing half-court, knuckle-down basketball. And now you have to have diversity in your game to kind of have different skill sets where you can score, you know, in the high post, pull backing down. I just saw some of the shots. He looked very one-dimensional. He lost his confidence. Wow. But
say it with your chest. Say, get it off your chest.
Yeah, man. I was just like, whoa. I'm like, come on, dude. If you would have given, for example, he averaged like, I think 23, 24 points per game. If he would have averaged like 18 points
in that series,
they would have won.
Yeah.
They would have beat Boston easily.
Yeah. I agree. I'm just not chiming in because I said everything I had to say.
I just had to say that. But you know, who knows? Sometimes you kind of need these type of things to kind of take you to that next level. To where you need to kind of fall to kind of realize what you need to work on. And we'll see. The future is bright because he has the opportunity. He has the one thing about the NBA and the game. I love this game is that you are still in control of what happens next. And if he has the right attitude, he'll be working in the lab right now, staying by in dark zero, what do you call it? What is that thing?
Dark 30.
Zero, dark zero, whatever. And just lock in, work on your game, and come back with vengeance. I think LeBron took everything, all the chatter that Kawhi is the king and all that, realized, okay, I need to get better, and he waited. And he came out this year, and look where we are. Yeah, that was perfect.
Yeah,
that was good.
How Butler's playing him right now is what we wanted to see in that Clippers series, but we never got a chance.
Never got. Yeah, exactly.
It's honestly probably one of the biggest what ifs in the last few years.
Yeah,
like honestly, like because everybody wanted to see that matchup. But your point you were making before was about how Miami came and beat Toronto and they took Pascal out of his game.
Yeah. They took him out of his game, and so I realized, like, this team is going to be a problem. If they're doing this now, this early in the season, let's wait to see how they're going to do in the playoffs, and then look at them. Yeah. And then the bubble hit. That was even to their advantage even more.
Oh, they embraced it, especially Jimmy, because you hear everything from what all the reports from Jimmy. He doesn't have any family, any friends, anybody here.
This
in
is
the
a
bubble.
Work trip. This is a business trip.
This is the business function right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's still training in his room. Remember the first week he was getting noise complaints because he was dribbling, doing dribble drills in his room. You know, and the downstairs room was reaping the benefits of it. Unfortunately,
before we go, I gotta tell this one story. I was in Oklahoma. Western Oklahoma in 1997. And there was this guy, this All-American guard. He transferred from San Diego State. His name was Kyle Crawford, I think it was. Anyhow,
sounds familiar, but go on.
Stocky 6'1" guard. He could jump. He could shoot. Stocky, really like a LeBron, not LeBron, but like a Baron Davis type of guard.
Okay.
Anyhow, very good, talented, egomaniac. He reminds me of Jimmy Butler because of this insane work ethic. Mm-hmm. So before the season started, we didn't have dorms. We had to stay. The team put us in housing in the hood. So he would dribble with his earphones in the street up until 4 o'clock in the morning. Wow. Doing crossovers to people. He was envisioning himself on the court, and he was crossing over people. He got so good at it, he put cones on the sidewalk and just be dribbling, talking to himself. Okay? Mm-hmm. I went into the gym one time to do some to work on my shot, to put some extra shots after before practice. He walked over and says, "I don't like the fact that you beat me here. I will beat you to the gym tomorrow." I never heard that before, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things. Jimmy Butler is one of those guys that is a student of the game and has an insane work ethic. And he's a throwback, to be honest with you.
Did you beat him to the gym the next day?
I tried to. He was there. It's funny. We would shoot. I would shoot in one end. He would shoot in the other. I'd always ask, "Can I shoot with you?" He's like, "Nah, man. I got to do my own thing." I was like, "Okay." And then one day I got there before him. He's like, "Yo, I don't like the fact that you're here before me, Chan. I have to be here first. I have to be first." That's what he said to me. And I was just like, "Holy Jesus, guy's nuts."
And imagine you're talking about a guy with an insane work ethic like that, and he didn't make the league.
He didn't even make the league.
He didn't come close to making the league. That's just crazy.
You know what?
Right?
Like, I'm not to toot my own horn. I think I have a very strong work ethic. And this guy's work ethic back then, I was just like, whoa, it was just nuts. And so I could understand, like, my motto is hard work never goes unnoticed. If you put the work in, the journey traveled is that much more gratifying for you because you learn a lot about yourself along the way. And you know you put that work in, right? So if you put the work in, you have no other reason to feel confident because you did it. Right, so a lot of players in this day and age are not willing to put the work in, and they get thrusted into the big show, and then they're not ready. So I'm glad that Jimmy Butler, here's where I tie it back to Jimmy Butler. I'm glad that he's on the biggest stage for the world to see his true heart and grit and his game and his influence and his leadership. I think it's amazing. So hats off to him.
Like the move coming to Miami it was like the perfect move. I thought that was like,
yeah,
that should have always been the move. You know,
yeah.
That should have always been the move. But I think, like, it's funny. I think where I think it's gonna be interesting is, like, I'm looking at free agency the next 2 years because they're gonna
because Miami's
2021.
Enough
for
people
sure.
will want to go there.
Yeah,
so Riley runs a tight ship, man. You gotta be mentally ready for that. You gotta be mentally 12% body fat or 13% body. Yeah, he has, like, preseason workouts. He has you on diets. They have people making your meals and stuff, which is probably good for you. That's what Zion needs. But, like, you know what I mean? That's the environment that the culture that they've created.
Well, it's funny because one of the pods I had Joel on last year. Joel Anthony, I had him on last year. And that was the one thing he was saying. He was like, when he went to the tryout, he said every team, every agent that he ran into was like, "Make sure you're in shape." And he's like, "Yo, why does everybody keep saying that?" You know, because he's like, everybody that came to him was like, "Oh, you're trying out with the Heat? Make sure you're in shape." He said that was the same thing every time. And he's like, "Yo, what the hell's going on in Miami? Like, why does everybody keep telling me the same thing?" But he's like, when he got there, he was like, "Yo, I always worked hard," so he didn't have to worry. But he's like, but he's like, he realized, like, shit. But he said he and it's funny because one of the things I liked, he's like, he said he didn't notice because he was immersed in the culture. That was his first team for 6-7 years. He didn't realize, like, how much it was rare until he started going to other teams. And he realized, like, oh, shit, it's just Miami that works like this.
Yeah. You know? Right. So, yeah, because that was why Shaq and Pat Riley had a falling out because.
Yeah, Shaq ain't working like that.
Yeah, Shaq. Shaq wasn't working out with the Lakers, and he was winning. He was going on three-peats. He was half-assing it, mm-hmm. and he was winning three-peats. almost had a four-peat, and then he comes to Miami and he was hungry because he wanted to prove that he could win without Kobe. He got that championship, and then it was all over after that.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you got to, you know, especially, you know, if you're going to play this game and want to have a long career, you got to take care of your body. And I think LeBron is a testament to that, for why we're seeing the high efforts, high level of exertion physically, and he's still doing it. What I like about his game is that he picks and chooses how to influence the game through scoring, passing, defense, leadership, shooting the three. He's now hitting his free throws finally. So I'm going to be happy on Friday. Hopefully it gets done.
Well, again, just to wrap up, I think next year, I think it's going to be interesting with Miami in the next couple of years, because
what NBA season is not exciting gearing up for? What for all the subplots and all the storylines that are happening with all, because it's a new season, right? Mm. Can LA defend? What's Curry and the Golden State guys got to say about it? What's going to happen with Milwaukee? How's Toronto? What's Toronto going to do? What's Boston going to do to retool? How are these contenders going to retool?
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. But why I say Miami is going to be interesting is because what they've showed in this bubble experience, and like they've showed their culture off. And like I said, I agree in the sense where it's going to be hard. But I think, you know, you're playing with a guy like Jimmy Butler. He doesn't care if he scores like 15 in a game. He doesn't care. Yeah. He just wants to win.
Yeah, so, it's an easy sell.
Yeah, so I think this is an easier sell. Now, Miami's an easy sell as it is, but I think they just showed themselves really well. So, to wrap up, do you think the series is over Friday, or are you going to watch? Are you going to be able to watch Game 6 with your Thanksgiving dinner?
I don't want it to go to Game 6, because that's going to be a pressure moment. So I'm going to lean to it being over on Friday. I think LeBron understands what's at stake here and knows that, you know, they're just dangling off the cliff, and I think he's gonna give those guys a people's elbow to completely knock them off. And I think AD's gonna have another chance to reestablish himself, and he wants to finish strong. These guys can taste it; it's right there, right? So I think now it's just one more game. This is why you play the game. This is why you've worked so hard. I tell you. You know, I'll never, I lost in the finals in high school in the championship game. And, it held a hard burden on me. But I must say, those losses fueled my work ethic and my wanting to learn what it takes to win. And I'm glad it happened, because it showed me what I need. I had to look myself in the mirror and I had to learn what it takes to win. And then when we finally won, when we won the championship with Ryerson, it was just like all those years of sweat and tears was like, wow, all the coaches for this moment, you know what I mean? And so not to compare my championship with Ryerson to the NBA championship, but it's still the sense of working together to reach a common goal. And so I think to tie it in again, I think these guys will get it done on Friday.
That's how I felt about my high school career in Montreal. CRHS stand up, 1995 champion stand up, but we went through that. We went through that experience where we were always the best team in the province every year, and our last year we finally won. We finally won provincials
nice.
The last year, and it was that was my senior year. But that was amazing, because the whole 4 years. Or 5 years, you're growing up with that team, and then we finally, you know what I mean, got to that point where you could win it. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I got my pretty rookie smile going on right now, but it's all good. On that note, brother, listen, man. Hey, thank you for coming on this show. I always said, you're always welcome. I know you haven't been here in a while, so I got to tell you where we keep the juice and we keep the cups. If you ever want to come back and be a guest again, but but it's all good, man. I appreciate having you on, talking about the finals and your love for LeBron. I would have combated a little more, but I want you to bask in your glow. They're about to win.
Yeah, so thank you.
I'm gonna be a nice guy this week.
I appreciate that. I was expecting some jabs. I was a little defensive coming on the call, but thank you. Once again, thank you for having me. I what better chance to talk about something that you love? I love this game. That's why I still play at a limited capacity, and I love coaching. So this is just another way of expressing my love for the game and watching the NBA Finals and LeBron's legacy. So and I'm just happy to be alive with COVID going on, and it really got me to focus on the more simple things and the more important things in life. And sometimes it's just cherishing the simple moments, you know. So thank you for my brother for having me. Yeah, I appreciate this.
Always, man. Just a phone call away. Always, brother. Yeah, always. Thank you for tuning in to the AF Podcast. Special shout out goes out to Jam Michael Nation for coming on the podcast to discuss the NBA Finals, the pre-coronation of the Lakers championship, and just having our NBA conversation. I appreciate you, brother. We'll be back next week with another episode. Please stay tuned for that one. Make sure you like, rate, review, and subscribe on whichever podcast app you're listening to this from. Once again, subscribe to SalSharav.com. Once again, that's SalSharav.com for my entire catalog of podcast shows, plus all of the upcoming ones. And one more time for emphasis, that's SalSharav.com. For Jam Michael Nation, this is Kyle C. And you just tuned in to the AF Podcast on SalSharav Radio. Until the next podcast, folks, peace. We out. Enjoy your long weekend.